There's a rule in writing which I think it's the first rule I ever learnt, and it's the following. If your story can be represented by and then, and then, and then, and then, it's not a good story. And I felt like this episode of Doctor Who was nothing but and then, and then, and then, whoops, Gallifrey's dead, and then. And Mike, disagree with me, you liked it. What's wrong with you?
Hi, I'm Mike Bethel, and this is Stan Hardcastle. We're here today to talk to you about Doctor Who.
I've never introduced things. Introductions are for the weak.
I love it. No, it's cool. So even Doctor Who, no, so you hated it, right?
I loathed it.
You sent me, what did you text me? You sent me like, hang on, I'm going to look this up.
Oh, no.
Because it was literally as the before the next time on hit the screen. I got from you, welp, lots to talk about, none of it good. So I'm quite excited for this one. I'm quite excited. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this with the audience. Like,
well, I get, right, so I'm thinking 3 out of 10 level for that one.
3 out of 10, okay, I do disagree with you there.
What would you have given it?
Say again?
What would you have given it?
I would honestly bump it up to like a 6 verging on 7.
So like last week's kind of good. Okay. Not good,
No. Last, so for me it's flipped. So for me last week was like a 3 or 4. This is I wanted more of this in the last episode. So this could be a fun chat. Let's do it.
For continuity, I'm pretty sure in the last one you said, yeah, I thought about 6 as well. But it's fine. This is a Doctor Who podcast.
I'm nice to you though.
Continuity can fuck
up. This podcast is generally one of us bullying the other one into agreeing with them. So, you know, and it's, well, I'll be honest, you're usually the bully.
Prepare to be bullied.
Turn me around.
Can I just point out, just if you don't know whose side to be on, I'm currently drinking from a lovely Mike Wazowski mug. It's a pint mug. It's filled with orange juice.
Yeah.
And Mike is clearly drinking from a fucking jar.
I love it. I'll tell you what this was. This was a freebie with monkey shoulder. With a bottle of monkey shoulder. Came with a jar cup thing. But it's full of Ribena, so it's not, you know.
Robinson's bitch. Yeah, let's start the real
war. Hello. Let's draw our lines in the sand. I do like a Robinson squash.
Ribena could fuck
I'm always amazed that they don't have squash in America. And it's always really, it's one of those weird moments.
Yeah.
Whenever you're talking to someone from
America. I made my own, actually. I just wrung out the bread into water and that was enough sugary content.
That was enough sugar to make it work. just fermenting your sugary bread.
Yeah.
Fair play.
There's a lot of bad things about America, and that's the worst one.
Because that is the most noteworthy thing I want to bring up on the podcast. Absolutely.
Anyway, fuck me. Where do we begin? We began with a complete reduction of every Doctor Who rule of time travel by going, "Fuck it, we'll do Bill and Ted this time," and just going, "You know what? Time travel. Just the Doctor can solve problems after they've happened."
It was Bill and Ted, wasn't it?
It was Bill and Ted. It's Bill and Ted. That is Bill and Ted time travel, which the Doctor has previously stated in an episode Chibnall has clearly watched because he stole most of the script from it. It was Smith and Jones. The Doctor said he can only go back on his own timeline for cheap tricks. That wasn't a cheap trick. That was saving everybody. It's been done a few times. It's the Big Bang sort of escape.
It's the sort of cheeky narrative thing
you don't want to put in there because it takes all tension away from every future scene ever. Which is why
it misunderstands what the TARDIS is for, right? The TARDIS is to get you to the next story. It's not necessarily to be part of the story, unless you're Neil Gaiman and you're doing something really cool with them.
Yes, or it's Blink and everything's just a bit upside down, and it works Blink ways around because the Doctor's behind.
I think that's the thing. I think the reason Blink works is A, because it's tied to the power of the baddies themselves. Like, they are time travel based villains, so it fits that world. And yeah, like you say, the other thing crucially is that you're outside of the Doctor's perspective. Yeah. That you're kind of confused and seeing it from a human's perspective at the same time, which is perfect.
And but yeah, the
bringing back the video from Blink to this episode was very odd. That was very on the nose. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Especially in Blink, the Doctor is not in control of the situation. The Doctor's just following on from instructions the Doctor is given. And that is... I actually wrote an episode about the Shadow Proclamation. I love the Shadow Proclamation. I love
How
the
many
episode,
episodes of Doctor Who have you speculatively written?
I have written 2 full seasons of Doctor Who.
Are you serious?
I'm not pissing around here. I've written 2.
That's amazing. That's amazing. No, I like genuinely, like, it sounds like I'm being sarcastic because everything I say sounds sarcastic, but that genuinely is amazing. I love
that. Honestly, I've been writing it since 2005. That's how I got into, like, being interested in writing. I was like, oh, I want to write really cool. stories in that world. And every now and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to knock out a Doctor Who script over a weekend. And then 6 months later I finished it and I'm like, great. And then I delete it because I don't want anyone to ever see it. But the idea is up there.
Is that true? You've also deleted all of them?
I've deleted everything I've ever written since before Fuck Your Video Games. Everything. It just goes. I delete it. I never put it out there.
Well, I can understand not putting it out there, but deleting it, that's, yeah, fair play.
Well, because if I don't delete it, it might one day get out there. But this, thanks to therapy, anxiety pills, and a publisher, I'm now off that.
I'm going to do a time heist. I'm going to steal all your scripts. As a callback to the last episode.
Well done.
That's the thing. It's like poetry, it rhymes. Very George Lucas up in here. I made that reference the other day on my other podcast while we were talking about Star Wars.
You whore, you have another podcast.
I have another podcast I'm on. And I said that quote, it's like poetry, it rhymes. And no one else on the call got the reference. And one of them genuinely went, wow, Mike, that's really, like, that's a clever analysis of Star Wars. I didn't have the heart to say it. It's fine. It's all good.
This is the podcast where everything can come out. That's the fun of this one.
This is the crueler podcast. My other podcast is like with professionals who are very nice people. This is after hours.
Excuse me, bitch. I'm holding my own book.
You are holding your own book.
I paid a lot of money for someone to write that in my name.
We need to do a video version of this where it's just your side of the conversation. Because I just sit here and talk and drink from my ridiculous cup. Whereas you're much more expressive, much more engaged.
All over the fucking place, yeah.
This is, by the way, a record for us in terms of stopping talking about Doctor Who this early in the conversation. That's got to be the first time.
Maybe. Yes. Okay, fine, it is. So,
yeah.
Bill and Ted's saving the day.
Correct.
Kills any future tension, because why doesn't the Doctor just go back and fix it later?
Yep.
You can't do that. You can't.
It actually makes the Doctor cruel for not always using that solution, because it would save so many lives.
Yeah.
If you can just travel back in time any point you want for convenience's sake.
Yeah, it's like...
I guess the only thing... Oh, wait a minute. No, she didn't... Actually, okay, I'm going to come just to the devil's advocate on this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Your blink defense applies here,
mm-hmm.
because she didn't put herself back through time with the TARDIS. She was... through the events of the story, put back in time and dealt with things as it went on. This wasn't that she jumped in the TARDIS, went back, did something, came back. This was, she was locked in the past.
No, the blink defense still stands, because from the Doctor's side, the Doctor's given a folder and goes, oh, I'll have to use this one day, and then that day comes later and the Doctor's like, oh, I've got to do all these things now.
Yeah.
Whereas in this case, the Doctor was like, how did you escape the airplane? Oh, I did something. I'll go do that now.
Mm.
The difference, subtle, but there.
Ah, yeah, I don't know if I completely agree, but I'm going to move on for the sake of the five more arguments we're about to have, so let's do that.
So, I groaned out loud when Gallifrey was destroyed again.
How long was it, like, back in existence for? Like, it was War Doctor, right?
For the 50th
is when
they saved it.
Where the Pocket Universe happen?
The 50th, that's when they saved it.
Yeah, the War Doctor, big episode. Yeah, I saw that at the BFI. It was very good.
I saw that in Finland on a very small television. It was also very good. It's
but you were in Finland,
episode.
So that's pretty cool.
that is my eternal proof that Moffat can fucking write, because you tied up 50 years of Doctor Who changing everything, really defining it and just making it fantastic, and now it's just kind
Moffat's
of
always been it. Very good at an episode of television.
One at a time.
It's where... One at a time.
I'm going to die on my Isle of Moffat Hill.
I would strongly encourage you to devote some time to watching Dracula.
No, I knew I wasn't going to watch it.
It's all right. Did you see Jekyll back in the day?
I did. I thought it was terrible.
It's Jekyll.
Did you really? Coupling back in the day. Now Coupling's the shit.
Coupling was incredible. Great. Coupling was genuinely good.
If you've not
I love,
seen
by the way,
coupling,
side note, but I love that because it was very original, but it was also kind of a stealth clone of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in the morning show, Steve from Coupling mm-hmm. is married to Jennifer Aniston, who is the Sue character in Friends,
mm-hmm.
and so there's in my head canon there is a link there that is quite pleasant for me.
I can't remember his fucking name now, but it will come to me. At some point, go play Steve, who's also in Pirates of the Caribbean, who's also mm-hmm. briefly in a film that was... Oh, was he in Kingsman, right at the start of Kingsman?
Oh, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
Steve Davenport, Peter Davenport, one of them.
No, you're right, Steve Davenport. Yeah.
Steve Davenport, yeah. I think.
Unfortunately, there's no way of us looking it up, so
no way
whatsoever. Just hope that that's right.
I put Skype on widescreen and it's doomed my computer.
I touch anything, just on a massive screen right now. It's great. I'm coding while we talk. I'm doing five other things.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. And drinking out of a jar.
It's a good jar. It's a good jar. I almost just did the Kermit emoji, Kermit meme there, right?
Oh my god, you are.
I've got light shining from the background and it's illuminating my Ribena. There you go.
Doesn't really work on the audio only podcast.
It's not an audio thing. Well, if I were to play up the slurp, that wouldn't be very pleasant. So.
No, never play up the slurp. I liked it. We have the video chat on if you're listening, which you probably are, because otherwise it would be really weird if you're hearing this. But we have video chat because I like to watch Mike's eyes as I reveal things to him that make him die. And make him realise that I'm the superior writer, even though he's probably like, well, BAFTAs and shit. I don't fucking remember anymore, you prick.
I honestly lose track.
you just put all these fucking Emmys and shit on your desk, you're through them. Is there a BAFTA in here? I don't know.
You get so many, you know. I'm actually relatively award-free, to be honest. I am,
yeah,
but
same.
That's okay. Yeah, it's nice. It gives me more space for books.
Do
you ever read a book,
Dan?
Like, cool. Second, sorry.
That's such a wanky thing to say. Fuck you. I showed you two books before we even started, you prick.
You wrote one of them. You did show me two books before we started. Sorry, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, not even the one I wrote. A third one. Do you want to see a fourth one? Boom.
Show me another
Drunk
book,
and White,
Dan.
Elements of Style. Go fuck
Dan
yourself.
Is holding up. What's Elements of Style? Oh, as in Style Guide.
Holy shit. Elements of...
I've never read
just
that.
Like, this tiny little
book. I write for video games. We don't have to worry about style guides. We just
this
have
is
not too
like,
many bugs at launch.
I know how semicolons work now, which is one of my notes.
Actually, that's genuinely useful, yeah.
Yeah, this book is like, instead of just doing any English course ever, just read Drunk and White's Elements of Style.
Dan is demonstrating how thin a book it is for me.
It's so thin.
It's how many pages is that? Like
97, and that's the fucking index. There's the glossary. There's the afterword.
I'll have to pick that up.
85 pages. You just whip through this fucking thing. It's beautiful.
Cool.
Anyway, and the writer's journey is hundreds, 300.
See, I've never read the writer's journey. I read the Stephen King one you showed me. Yeah. I'm a Save the Cat guy myself. Save the Cat is trash, but it's like really useful. And whenever I do the cliches from Save the Cat, people say my stories are good. And whenever I try and be original, I get bad reviews. So. Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm trying to be original.
Oh, it's dangerous, man. Don't ever do that.
Original, but to the structure of the... what happens if time travel fucks with the style? Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, that's 2 years away. Let's get on to an episode we just watched. What the fuck were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Gallifrey's
Doctor
gone.
Who.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Oh, drop Gallifrey. Thanks for coming back. So we lost.
And without any mystery, or with a mystery... that
was resolved.
Resolved because we know who did it.
Yeah, the master.
Which is odd. So it's like, they set up the, you know, whodunit. Oh my god, Gallifrey, really? Then they tell us who did it, and then they vaguely set up another mystery where we don't actually know the stakes or the question that's being asked. It's like saying, Dan, in front of me there's a box. I'm not going to let you see the box, but I want you to know the box is there.
Oh, shit.
You want to know about the box, right?
Not really, no.
No, you don't. No, you don't care. You don't care, because you have no stakes, no interest in the box whatsoever.
No, don't give a fuck about that box.
It's not so much a mystery box as a box you don't care about.
A loot box, perhaps.
A loot box. A loot box, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
A lore box.
So, yeah, we last saw Gallifrey in just before Capaldi returned. No, he went off with Bill. I can't remember now. God, it was... Heaven Sent and Hell Bent. Was that the last time we saw Gallifrey? So 2 seasons ago?
Let's say yes. I don't know.
Heaven Sent or Hell Bent, whichever one came first, is a fucking cracker, and it's Capaldi's best episode by a long way. And it's like ultimate Moffat, and it's ultimate Moffat Unchained. And then the next one is ultimate Moffat, everything he does wrong.
Is that the one? That's not the one where he's in a tower with the skulls. One's so good.
That's so
good.
Yeah, the next episode is like,
I can just never remember the names of them.
Yeah, and I just hate Clara. I just can't stand Clara. Never got with Clara in any way. Mm-hmm. Nothing came of that. We must have talked about how much I can't fucking stand
Clara. But she was
Clara.
A magic special person. who was magic and special. I can't remember why she was magic and special, but I remember she was, and there were lots of her throughout history. I'm getting tired just saying the sentence.
And then, actually, the 50th, she was the one who went, "Why are you doing this?" And the Doctor's like, "You know what? I could not blow up Gallifrey."
Mm.
And then Gallifrey's been blown up now by the Master because they found out something. Ooh.
Can I ask you a Doctor Who question?
You may.
Is the Master... This is just something that occurred to me while I was watching the episode. Is the Master always regionally locked to the Doctor?
I don't know, but I'm assuming yes. In this
because
fucking
he's
episode,
got a slight Yorkshire twang now. He was, or she was, Scottish with Capaldi.
Well,
with Tennant, although of course Tennant isn't, but does an, a London accent in the
Thespian
show.
Thespian with Jacoby and Tennant.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Why not?
Let's say yes.
Yeah, fuck it.
It's an interesting trope I noticed that I'd never really spotted before.
Yeah, it's also probably because they just hire people from...
Always seems to mirror the accent.
They just hire people from the same area, but you know...
Or don't ruin this, Dan.
This is one of my positive points about the episode.
Is it sociopaths who mirror, who mimic the people they're talking to? I'm doing like a thinking gesture, and Dan's mocking me now on the video. We need to put out the video for these because people need to see the cruelty in your face.
I was being a sociopath. Jesus, come on.
I wonder if it's that. If it's like a mirroring thing. Anyway, so Doctor Who.
Oh God, yeah, that's what we were talking about, wasn't it? So, all right, let's just get on the point where I screamed at the TV. I made an audible reaction. One was when they went, "Gallifrey's been destroyed." I went, "Oh, fuck off." Which was enough to make the wife look up from their Switch. Where they're clearly just playing Binding of Isaac and not paying attention because the episode bored them. And the other thing was when they had Charles Babbage and Ada Lovelace, like the start of computers, in an episode about how computers have got evil and didn't tie those two things together.
Didn't use that at all.
In any way.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually even more so because it's also an episode that's talking about turning, because Babbage and Lovelace is hardware and software. That's the kind of that's the thing that's interesting about them. And like, and also I've put a Lovelace reference into almost every game I've ever made. It annoys me now that Lovelace, because of Doctor Who, is going to be a bit more mainstream and everyone's going to notice all those references, which is annoying to me. I don't know why that's annoying to me.
Because you're a gatekeeper.
I am a gatekeeper.
Your own references.
On the specific subject of Victorian era computer experts. But yeah, so you've got like hardware and software, and then you've got the big evil plot is to turn people into hardware. There's so much you could bring those characters together. And
which is why I thought they were in that era doing it with those people. And then
I think it was just they were the Victorian famous people they'd not put in a Doctor Who episode for a while. And that's kind of... I hope that's not it. Or maybe there was more and they got changed. There's also my suspicion that this was not a Master episode originally. The two-part... Like, this wasn't... The Master doesn't need to be there. And I've got a horrible suspicion there's a version of this script that didn't do that. That was just about... And then that leaves more room in the script to bring those characters forward or to bring Lovelace forward at least and have her kind of interact.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, no, the Master was never in this script. He's not necessary. He doesn't do anything.
Literally doesn't do... I don't think he does anything to further or change the plot beyond just being present, and then you have to add all the... I guess the only moment he's relevant to the plot is the Second World War, where the Doctor weaponizes race. That was quick, and I think it happened. But it's all right.
Have you seen those race reveal Barbies they've got now?
What's a race reveal Barbie?
It's a real thing. You buy a Barbie and it's coated in like this pink sort of plastic. And you put it in water. So it's all pink, hair and everything. It's all just like in the pink shell. You put it in water and it dissolves. And then you see what race of Barbie you have.
Oh, so it's like a surprise Barbie design.
Yeah. I don't think they refer to it as race reveal Barbie. But
probably not. Can't imagine that would be a part of it.
I think that's a good name for it.
Well, there's a big trend, isn't there, in children's toys of basically like loot box children's toys. Like, obviously, you've always had the kind of blind box stuff.
Yes, I have a channel dedicated to that. Yes.
Yeah. I'm explaining your job to you. I'll tell you about video games in a minute. It'll be great.
But I'll tell you how to make them.
But isn't the big stuff? You've made video games. I loved your keyboard thing years ago. That was great.
System Stomach. Classic of the genre. Award winning.
Was it award winning?
My mum gave me a gold star for it.
That's nice. That's really nice. But I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh no, but like the big toys. There's now the blind box thing is being applied to bigger toys, which is interesting to me. So it makes sense that Barbie there'd be a doll kind of version of that.
Yeah. But anyway, weaponizing race is how we got to Barbie.
I mean, the Doctor literally does that, right? She actively makes him not look like a white guy to get him in trouble faster with the Nazis.
Yes. That's how I read that situation as well.
That was an odd moment that was strange.
I mean, sell it in a nicer way, un-white-faced him? I don't know, like,
let's move on.
That wasn't nicer! I think I'll get you down to a five now.
I guess the thing that was weird to me was it wasn't necessary because she already had a brilliant plan to get him in trouble by they used the spy network messages to implicate him. It was a weird throwaway thing. It feels like one of those ideas that you put in at like draft 10 because you're already bored of your own script and isn't necessarily kind of worth doing. But anyway.
Sometimes so you say things that cut me
deeply. Did we get to your second shouting at the screen moment yet?
Yeah, it was the Eddie Lovelace.
There were two. Oh, it was the Eddie Lovelace not using that.
Eddie Lovelace not using... And then we're going here. Why? Because I want to go to World War II. What's the significance? We can put the Master in a Nazi uniform, but not actually a Nazi uniform. That'll be fine. We'll give him that hat from that Mitchell and Webb sketch. That'll do. We'll do that.
I'm sitting here thinking, because I was going to make like a jokey response to you of like, and they didn't even use the beard space, interestingly. And then it occurred to me that right at the start of the episode, I was like, when you're seeing, you know, electrons moving around or whatever, or neural stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, they're in the Doctor's brain, or they're in the Master's brain or something. We're in a brain here. And it just, and then obviously it just turns out to just be that's their universe. But they are trying to connect to humanity's brains, and it's just occurred to me that's actually kind of clever that the aliens in this are basically from like a brain universe, and they're trying to expand into another universe by using the brains of the people there. None of that stated in the episode or pointed out in an interesting way, but it just this moment occurred to me, and I thought that's actually a really cool concept.
I think now I actually understand the plot of what they were doing there, because it went on, and I didn't have a fuck. I'll be honest to you. I didn't have a fucking Scooby for the whole thing about what was happening. There was a lot of... There was just... We're going to turn your DNA...
Yeah, it's terrifying,
turning
right?
DNA into stuff, that's going to be the new you only use 10% of your brain thing, isn't it? That's going to be
Of course it is. No, absolutely, yeah. Because what's the name? What's the open source DNA editing thing that...
Facebook.
...that doesn't really work? Do you say Facebook?
Yeah.
What's it called? Not Clipper or not Grindr. That's something else. There's something like it's like a verb. Someone's going to post it in the comments. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Crispin? No, Crispin Glover. No.
Yeah, it's Crispin Glover is all
it's
the
Crispin
DNA.
Glover comes in, he steals your DNA.
Yeah, he's made from one piece of DNA from every person on the planet that's ever lived or ever will live, and that's why.
But no, DNA splicing. You're absolutely right. DNA splicing is the new nano machines.
Yeah.
It's the new thing that people vaguely understand and seems probably like magic, but doesn't actually probably exist in a way that's useful.
It was like, hey, we've got aliens, and the aliens want to move into this universe, and the way they're going to do that is they're going to do it through just a whole bunch of me preaching, hi, I'm Lenny Henry, and I'm going to tell you that phones are bad, just right at the screen until...
It's really cruel of them to just make Lenny Henry stand in a dark room on his own for a whole episode.
Seriously, swap Sacha Dhawan, Lenny Henry, I'd have such a better fun with this episode. I didn't like the scenes with the Master alone with Lenny Henry, because the Master's really subdued and calm and is sort of just like a dude and like a villainy
dude. And was kind of working for it. Like he says, I'm not working for you, and then just kind of behaves like a subordinate. Like, yeah. He should be telling off Lenny Henry. He should be putting Lenny Henry in his place.
He should be putting Lenny Henry's goolies.
To believe that he's important, yeah.
Yeah, and advice is like, just, yeah, there was... But yeah, no, that sort of the whole manic energy thing that he had was pretty much reserved for an audience. And it kind of felt like in every scene he was just a different sort of master. I mean, the really interesting question going into this episode was, where does this master fit into the timeline? And of course, the answer to that was...
No answer to that.
Fuck you, I don't care, yeah. I'm Chris Chibnall. I don't even like Doctor Who. I don't know why I'm running this show. I'll block Gallifrey
really
again. Fuck
how
it.
How do you really feel about this?
This, I prefer Series 11. I know a lot of people are enjoying this, but I'm like, oh god, this is just... Like, so in this episode, we had the companions sitting around going, what do we do now? And I went, oh yeah, you're all fucking useless, aren't you? All three of you are completely fucking useless in every single way. Oh wait, hang on, Graham nicked some laser shoes, because Chris Chibnall now knows how to hang a Chekhov's gun with the microwave and resolution. He learnt this, so he's like, laser shoes. And then we
laser
had that joke 6 or 7 times... Because when he thinks a joke's funny, oh boy, does he beat that down until... Does he beat that down? Oh, God. So
I definitely think this podcast benefits from being recorded at 9 p.m. on a Sunday. I mean, there's an energy that you specifically have at this time, which is good.
There's an implication, because it cuts away from it, of he killed like 400 of those guys with laser shoes.
For sure.
And then they're in another scene. Because, mm-hmm. And then they landed in Southend Airport. And then this thing, and then. And I was just like, oh god, just let something happen. Oh, now we're in this time. Why? Because we couldn't go back yet. You're heavy, therefore time travel doesn't work. Fuck it. They've always been here. Really? Yeah, since like the 1800s. That's not always. That's a couple of hundred years. That's... How many fucking aliens
have always been
alert?
Like Russia, but bigger.
Oh,
that was a weird line as well.
That was a weird fucking line. Vor wasn't mentioned again. I was so annoyed that we didn't.
someone ran into an office at the BBC after the second episode had been filmed and was like, dudes, I just Googled it. We're in trouble.
See, I thought they were being... So one thing I didn't say last week, because I thought they were being very clever about, and I was like, I don't want to spoil this, because this is actually a cool thing. I thought they were going to do... Not the little people, like the little... But with the name Vor is three letters. It's O and it's VR. And I thought it was like, this is all a simulation. The Master's nicked the Doctor.
Oh, that's quite clever.
Because it's like, everything's a lie, so it's O in VR. Ha-ha, I'm Chris Chibnall, I'm clever. But he didn't do that.
I like that you even get annoyed at Chibnall for decisions that he didn't make but that you imagined he might make.
Well, like writing a decent fucking plot. Like answering the question. God, I'm so... You know what? I just... The only thing that got me through Capaldi's run was Missy. Mm-hmm. And Missy's arc. And I think that's what's fucking me off so much about all of this is because I fucking loved Missy's arc. Because it was... The Doctor really fucking tried to make Missy good. And at the end, without the Doctor knowing... Missy's like, yeah, fuck you. And now it's just like, I'm back. And with no explanation, and now I'm evil again. I mean, the Doctor wouldn't know that Missy turned good, but...
Well, that's also like, it was weirdly absent from like her explanation to the gang of what happened, you know, when she's explaining who the Master is, like, just someone who turned bad. No, there's been more to this. Like, you two got to know each other and...
Yeah.
You fixed it, or you thought you had, you know.
Yeah, there's way more to that story, but yeah, it doesn't matter. You're not telling it. It's fine. We don't care. Why did he kill his mum? Was she not in a coma? So what happened to the people in the first episode who were in living comas? What was that about?
The what? The first episode? I've already forgotten.
In the first episode, the opening of the first episode was three spies who were put in living comas where they were.
Oh yeah,
you're
not wrong.
All their DNA was scooped out and they were in living comas. Was
doesn't
that
matter? They're assuming that people pay as much attention
Lenny
as
Henry's
I do. That's what
DNA 93% human. Where was the other 7%?
Because they've been setting up tests on his brain. And that's how DNA works. By the way, if you were 93% human, you'd be less than a chimp. I think a chimp is 90... Is it 98, 99% human chimp?
Bananas like 95% in DNA or some bollocks like that, isn't it?
You'd be a lizard person at that point, yeah.
Oh, good. We're doing Threshold again. That lovely episode of Voyager where they fucking...
Oh, they do. They have sex, don't they? They have lizards, amphibian sex on a planet. And have little amphibian babies.
I'm going to quote from the Book of Fuck Yeah video games here.
I've heard that's quite a good book. Is it available in all good bookshops?
No. W.H. Smith didn't want it. It's... Actually, tell a lie. They didn't want it, and then it sold well, and now they sell it. So, I think. I don't really pay attention. I'm not one that... Like, when I send something out, like, that's me done with it. At some point in here, I do talk about the episode of Threshold. But, oh, fuck it. I can't be asking for my own fucking book. It's just my own... I can't gibber while reading my
own. Well, if you
didn't
delete everything you write off your computer, you'd be able to, like, search in it or something and find it.
Oh, I do have that on my computer, but all my shortcuts of book now go to a different book. That's how I write everything.
Well, why don't you read us a bit from your new book? So what you didn't like Threshold, I'm assuming, in terms of Voyager episodes. I'm guessing it wasn't one of your favourites.
It's the worst episode of television. No, it's
not. Really
because it's not because...
Well, it introduces the Delta Flyer, right? Is it? No, the Delta Flyer predates it. No, it's just that they've adjusted the Delta Flyer.
Yeah, it's like, it can go warp 10, and it touches
remember the
names everywhere.
Of the shuttlecraft on Voyager? Why is that a thing that my brain has dedicated space to?
Because you're a fucking nerd. I repeat, you're a fucking... You're on a Doctor
Who
podcast.
It's because I'm 100% human, that's why.
Where's my Delta Flyer? I got a new one today.
Have you got a little model of a Delta Flyer?
No, I got a model of, what's it, an fucking... What class did I get today? I can't remember. Oh, shit. It's from the 24th century. Temporal 1, 15 minutes forward, 15 minutes back. Enterprise J was based up. It doesn't matter. Let's not think of Avaris. Avaris? Something. Fuck, I can't remember. I'm not nerdy enough. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Let's go back to your comfortable place. Let's talk about Doctor Who.
It's kind of an uncomfortable place when I don't like the episode. I was really excited.
So, was there anything you did like? Was there anything? Let's give a positive spin.
Oh, yeah. Like? It finished, and I enjoyed that when it stopped being on. I think I really. There's some stuff I'm going back to hate. I really hated the Neil scene. That's not a pleasant thing. Fleabag got away with that shit, but Fleabag was playing a very different Neil scene, which was. Much better. I should just watch Fleabag instead. I fucking love Fleabag. Couldn't this be a Fleabag podcast? I demand series 3 of Fleabag.
My worry is that if we made this a Fleabag podcast, you'd start to hate Fleabag. I think it's this podcast that makes you hate things. Because you like Doctor Who up until the exact moment we started talking about it.
Not true. I have loathed and loved Doctor Who across various episodes. Well, that's the thing. That is, again,
across
I say this every time.
Time and space.
Yeah, it's why I love Doctor Who. It's because sometimes I sit down and I go, holy shit, that was amazing. And sometimes I sit down and go, that is tripe. That was bollocks. That was absolute arse.
The variability makes it really interesting. I've tried to explain this to, like, friends who just, like, often, to be honest, Americans just they don't have the cultural kind of awareness of Doctor Who. And they do say, like, it seems like half of it's crap. It's like, yes. Yes, but the other half is sometimes excellent.
Yeah, that's the fun of it. It's Bertie Bott's every flavour beans. You know, sometimes you're going to have like
It's hunting for records in a record shop. It's you're looking for that. For the next golden Sam.
It's like looking for PS2 games in a CEX if you want to make us look less old. You know,
well, as a vinyl collector, you know, I I'm waiting for it to come out of cool because right now it's uncool again. But I'm sticking with the collecting just so we can get get back to it.
I have exactly one vinyl and I bought it last year.
What did you buy? Was it Doctor Who?
It was Dido. I'm being judged.
Which of the oeuvre was it? Best, greatest hits or
the new one?
Tea's
the new
gone
album.
Cold and wondering why I
no the new
get
one.
Out of bed at all.
Fuck you.
Morning rain clouds at my window.
I like that.
Do you stan Dido?
What I don't like stan as a phrase because it comes from Stan, which is where that song, which is just not a.
Do you not think that was the reference I was doing there?
That is. Well, that's
let me just explain my own joke to me. It's like Twitter. It's great.
I'm explaining it to the other people who are listening. People are listening to this conversation.
No one's listening to this. Everyone's gone. It's just us now.
For a fact everyone's listening because everything's spying on you or something.
Yeah, it was the message, wasn't it?
That was the message.
Do you think this all happened because someone bought Chibnall and Amazon Echo?
As GPS. See, one of the things of why did the car not kill the Doctor in the last episode, this episode the Master's like, it was me! And I'm like, okay, your plan was literally just to kill the Doctor immediately. You've got a gun that instantly kills people. Why not just go...
Also, you raise the very valid point of there's something very kind of... I mean, ironically, it's like Skyfall, but like Dark Knight, where it's like, so the Master's plan was to kill the Doctor, and failing that, to tell the Doctor the truth about...
Yeah.
I forgot the name of the Doctor's homeworld. Gallifrey? Took me a second.
Fuck you, with the not knowing. Oh, God, who have I put on this podcast?
This is a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake.
Mistake? Destroying Gallifrey after that was the plot for like a long time, and then this, and then...
It's always good in stories, I find, if the big events happen off screen.
What, like the Doctor solving this with the Deus Ex Machina off screen?
Yeah. Yep.
Off
Ocean's
screen!
Eleven style-y.
At the end, actually, I quantum fabulated the Flutubes, and it means they're all going to go back in the Dancy
Again.
Lady.
A bit Moffat-y, right?
No!
Yeah.
Moffat would put it on the screen and go, look how clever I am! And do you know what? He was fucking clever! That is just... Moffat's writing is like Edgar Wright's editing. Some people can't stand it because it's like, look how fucking clever I'm editing. And I'm there going, fuck, you're a really clever editor, aren't you?
I can't believe you just compared Moffat and Edgar Wright in my presence.
They are the same in different ways.
You should watch Dracula.
Right, I'm not watching Dracula because it's a horror, and from everything I've heard about episode 3,
to be fair, it's pretty horrible actually. Yeah, if Jekyll bothered you, don't go with Dracula.
Jekyll
is not good.
You know, there's some stuff that just shits me up. I'm like, Moffat, I don't trust with horror. I just like, nah.
I mean, it's gnarly. Like, no, Dracula, like, genuinely, like, I was this stuff in there where you're like, wow, BBC, fair play.
Yeah, not for me. I'll watch Futurama reruns instead, which is what I've been doing.
I'll cut you like a PG version of it, just so you can...
That sounded like a threat. I'll cut you like a PG version. That doesn't sound... Oh, I'm being stabbed off screen. Oh, no. Quick cut to me bleeding, and that's it. That's all you get. Moffat's a god, and fuck you. I even like Moffat when I don't like his episodes. Like, I come away from Moffat episode going...
I don't dislike Moffat on a personal level. I'm sure he's a very nice man.
I met him on a personal level, and he's lovely. Absolutely lovely. Charming fellow. He's an old
charming fellow.
Lovely, yes. No, I see his... Just whenever he's written an episode I don't like, I go, I get what you were doing that, it just wasn't for me. And with Chibnall, I'm like, oh, you're just a piece of shit. And he's never proved me wrong! Fuck it. I know I'm never writing Doctor Who, and it's mostly due to comments like this. But like, if I ever get the job, all these will fuck off. I'm just saying now, all these podcasts will just fuck off into the vortex.
I've definitely had conversations with like people we might work with at some point where they're like, we've checked your Twitter and you seem like a cool person and we'd like to work with you. If anyone's checking this podcast, you've destroyed any chance you ever have of working with Doctor Who.
Ah, yeah, but you see, the paradox paradox, bitch.
Careful.
I'll make my own
polite.
Doctor Who with Blackjack and
I'm here and I like Doctor Who, and we should definitely talk at some point. This Dan guy, though, he seems kind of quite negative on the brand and the IP. I'm not sure. I wouldn't trust him with it, put it that way.
I will, honestly, right, if I ever get the Doctor Who job, this podcast doesn't stop. And I will be on this podcast going, no, shit.
Insulting your own episodes.
Yeah, that was awful. I fucked that right up, mate.
Should never have hired that actor. This was terrible.
Adrian Lester as the Doctor. What a fucking awful decision that was.
Oh, he'd be good, though.
Yeah, he's my choice, baby. He's my choice. Get him on the phone.
Yeah. He'd be really good.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I've seen him in... What's he been doing? What's he been in recently? I don't think I've seen him in...
He was in a Sky One thing with John Sim, which meant I got lots of promo pictures of him and John Sim. I'm like, yes, the Doctor and the Master. This is perfect.
perfect. Oh, yeah. No, he's really good.
He does a lot of theatre and shit, and does a lot of Shakespeare. Mm. Shakespeare is incredible, and I don't fucking like Shakespeare, which is enough to...
You don't like Shakespeare?
I don't like Shakespeare. Oh, I don't know what words goes here. Oh, I'll just make one up!
I'm sure Moffat is at some point going to try and rewrite Romeo and Juliet for you.
It's not British enough. Bond. That's his next one. Bond. He'll do Bond next. He'll get a Bond film.
You think Moffat will do a Bond?
Yeah.
That's actually the one... I think he'd do quite a good Bond.
Yeah, I think he'd do a great fucking Bond. You know one of my favourite like lesser-known things he wrote?
The obtuse kind of... Sorry, go on.
The thing that he wrote that nobody people really ever remember that he wrote, the fucking Tintin movie.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Do you know who he wrote that with? Edgar Wright.
Oh, it's all coming full circle.
Yeah. Written by, fuck it, directed, was it produced by Peter Jackson, directed by Spielberg, or the other way around? I can't fucking remember. It's a great film. I fucking love that film. Mm. I love the bits that are so clearly Moffat-y and the bits that are so clearly Edgar Wright. And I'm like, oh, it's so good. I love this film. That's a great film.
I still wish we'd got Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. I think that would have been really interesting. I like Ant-Man, but I would have loved to have seen the Edgar Wright version.
Edgar Wright was one of the original directors and writers lined up for the first series of Doctor Who when it came back.
Really? But I can see that, actually. Well, because back then as well, like... Where was he at? He was still... Like, Hot Fuzz would have just come out? Or Hot Fuzz wasn't out yet.
Shaun of the Dead, I'd say. Because he was working on...
So he was known as someone who was really good at doing episodic TV and making it look 10 times as expensive as it was.
Shaun of the Dead had just come out. Earlier. Yeah, so it would have been Hot Fuzz. He was working on Hot Fuzz, so he couldn't do it. He just finished Shaun of the Dead.
Because I remember seeing Hot Fuzz when I was at uni and Shaun of the Dead when I was... college, and yes, and Doctor Who came out the first year of uni for me, so yeah, that checks out. I believe what you've just googled to be true.
Thank you. I'm glad someone... Oh, hang on, wait a second, I've just used technology and nothing exploded and I haven't been spied on, apart from Google Analytics now knows everything about me, but fuck them, they know everything about me anyway. Who gives a shit? I don't care. I'm gonna die in a hole and they won't be there then and I'll be free.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this episode.
Wait, shit. So what else happened? Because it was just a fucking... I can't remember much. God, getting old makes this hard. I just remember just going, come on, start. Give me some... The Master being fun. Give me some Lenny Henry with a joke.
Well, that's what I'm saying in terms of I'm pretty sure this was always meant to be... I think this was a really good... I think there was just two episodes. I think we had a good spy kind of silly romp. And then we had this idea of like... the Doctor trapped in the past and working her way through history, kind of building up a list of companions to bring back with her. I think those were two different interesting episodes that kind of got mushed.
I see. I liked
the Victorian stuff. I thought it was really fun. I like a bit of steampunk. The Second World War stuff I wasn't super fussed about.
No, it's all just, it rolls on. It's just too quick. Nothing sits and settles and that's really gets you in that world.
Yeah, it was both too fast and too slow. Yeah.
I mean, there's a thing, like, really getting a feel of where someone is in the world in TV. So if we go back to a World War episode, we'll go back to a Moffat episode, we'll go back to The Empty Child, that opening scene with the two-way, like, ramp street, the TARDIS on the corner, the little thing down the stairs, and the ladder, it's all there, and so much happens on that, and there's lovely... scenes and fun stuff and creepy moments, and it's all on that one little tiny set, and that feels like a real place. And in this episode there was a street and then there was lots of other... was there other bits? There was a house.
That was the small dark room that Lenny Henry did most of his scenes in. That felt like a real place to me.
That was just any
He was good though, Lenny Henry. I agree with you that he'd be better as a master. I'd love to see him as the master. But, like, I thought he did a lot with what he had. Like, I've not seen him in a serious role before. And once I got over the kind of, I'm waiting for Lenny Henry to make a joke in the first episode, I was actually genuinely impressed with him, kind of his acting chops in this one. I thought he did a decent job.
He was in something I watched not that long ago. Oh, I'm going to do another Google. Here we go. What was he in? He was in a. Oh, I'm gonna trust Wikipedia for a screen. What was he in? Oh yeah, he was in Broadchurch. That's sure I've seen him before.
Dan just shook his head there at the very concept of Chibnall having friends and good relationships with his co-workers.
I just went, oh, that's where he came. That's how he got him in here. It was actually all right. I quite liked the first series of Broadchurch. I went, oh, maybe Christian could
write. I never watched it. I never saw it. I need to...
It's a bit miserable and Tennant roaming on going... Oh.
It does seem like 50% of television now is David Tennant's been accused of something. or David Tennant looking a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah, he's
that's his vibe now.
Yeah, fair enough. Still the top to the pay. And then... Yeah,
I no longer live on the same street as David Tennant. I don't live next door to any doctors anymore. It's a shame.
How the fuck dare you? How dare you? I
dare me move away from David Tennant Street. Yeah.
How dare you do that? Now, Broadchurch Series 1 was all right. I was like, that's an all right mystery, and we're getting places. And then Series 2 was just a big smelly fart. There may have been a Series 3. I genuinely can't remember, but I gave up. And apparently it was a smellier fart with a bit of follow-through. That's the review I heard of... everything. A bit like Dracula's episodes, but much slower. So worse. So Moffat's better. There we go. We've proven
done
that point.
I want so much to talk to you about Dracula. And I know you can't watch, I know you're not going to watch it, and that's absolutely fair enough. My business partner just tweeted that, like, he knows full well that tomorrow all of our meetings are going to be about Dracula. He knows. He knows the anger that is in within me.
So come on, go on, get some anger out. Yeah, this is fine. Everyone here will be like, talk about Dracula.
It's really hard to go into it without like spoiling several twists that people might enjoy. So I don't want to go into it. But it's showy, offy. It's very Jekyll. And if you like Jekyll, it's more of that. If you had serious issues with Jekyll and what it did with the source material, then it's more of that. But there's a couple of the I forget the name of the actress, the basically the two protagonists, Dracula and the other one, which again I'm not going to spoil any, even the character name is a spoiler, so
his name is Keith. Just Dracula and Keith
the nun. And Dracula.
Oh, yes, the famous 24 actor, Keith Sutherland. Fuck it, never mind.
Solid. And that's why you're a comedy writer and I stick to the pretentious shit.
That's why I'm a comedy writer, motherfucker, because this shit takes time. First draft, isn't it? That's what you ever get.
It's good. No, so you can put that on the page and you'll fix it later.
My favourite thing, on the book tour, someone came up to me with a book and went, oh my God, I didn't know you were that funny. And I was like, I've been doing videos for 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know you're that funny, you know? Yeah. So, anyway. But yeah, it's the performances are really good in it. There's some nice art direction choices. I just fundamentally have lots and lots of issues with the writing and the story. But
sounds like all enough. BBC TV these days. Did you watch War of the Worlds over Christmas?
I did not, but I heard bad things.
Fucking awful.
I'm a big War of the Worlds fan, so I'm probably not going to go near it.
Oh, fucking love me some War of the Worlds. It was.
Well, I mean, unless it had Jeff Wayne soundtrack, I can't. It did. I can't even.
It starts off with the same speech of the thing. No one would have thought. But
well, that's from H.G. Wells.
Yeah, but it's like 2019, so it's a lady doing it. That's the rules now. And then some of the comments are fucking furious now. But
I'm just staying silent, Dan.
I said Mr.
I'm sorry. Does diversity bother you, Dan? Does it make you uncomfortable?
Oh my God! You know what? If everybody could have some sort of small psychic thing that makes them appear white to everyone else, wouldn't the world be a better place? That's what Doctor Who taught me today. That's what Doctor Who taught me today.
I didn't think I'd quit the podcast this early in its run. I thought it was going to build up.
That's the show we watched,
crikey,
right? That was the thing. He's like, crikey, everything in life is easier if you're white, which that's not wrong.
No, that part's fine. Yeah.
I saw one person from the trailer actually furious that in World War II the Eiffel Tower's apparently got its digital thing antenna on the top that it added in like 2005 or something because they'd taken a more modern model.
That's the show about the magical space wizard that bothers them.
Yeah. They're like, no, it's wrong. My favorite comment about everything was we had one tweet from, I can't remember who it was, but about our last episode of our podcast. They didn't realize it was a master reveal until we were talking about it.
That's quite impressive.
That's
but they
impressive.
Did kind of bluster over it a bit, didn't they, in that one?
Yeah.
So, I think that's the thing. I think it all feels, this ties into what you're saying, it all feels a little bit unfinished. It feels a little bit unpolished. They're cramming too many things in.
But it's all stuff that's been done before.
Cool story. I'm actually kind of looking forward to next week's. Like,
yeah, because Jim
dude in a weird wig, and like a place where there's something ominous outside, but it's Doctor Who's, so probably it's keeping something in. Spoilers. Like, that's going to be a fun little kind of horror house cheap Doctor Who episode, which I usually my favourite.
But it's been written by the same guy who wrote It Takes You Away from last series, which is the weird fucking one with the frog that we adored. Or at least I did.
Oh, I loved that episode. That was the best episode of last season.
That was an incredible episode. So that's why this is the one I'm pretty hyped for.
Okay, so it's going to be a happier podcast next week.
Happier podcast next week. This week was just a lot of... basically, I kind of went, ooh, where are they going to go with this? And they went, nowhere. Nowhere interesting. And anything they did do interesting, all the companions are on the run from the Master. And he's put what their wanted face everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, we've done this. The companions have to kind of say, the companions did fuck all.
And also, they're on the run to nowhere, right? Like, they don't, do they help in the final moments? Do they achieve anything towards the story? So they could just literally have gone and hidden a shed.
They could have all been killed, and the story would... If they were just shot each other, it's sort of like the ending of The Fucking Mist. They all just shot each other.
Spoilers.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll talk about the book.
I mean, the book's been out forever, and the film's been out for like 15 years, so I think it's probably okay.
Oh, God, when did that film come out?
The film was good, actually. Do you see The Mist?
Yeah, it's one of those ones that really shit me up. But no, it's that sort of, if they'd all killed each other, nothing would have changed. Because all their thing was about them getting to a place where it didn't matter because the Master was there, but it didn't matter because the Doctor had solved the problem remotely. The Doctor Skyped in the solution. It was awful.
Here's one she made earlier, yeah.
Devoid of tension. There was... no. I like it less, actually, after having talked about it with you. It just didn't, nothing, it just, no, there was no zing to the dialogue again, it's just very flat, the amount of places for jokes and just little Doctor quips that we've seen so, that Jodie does so well with, and that sort of childlike
she continues to be massively underused.
Yeah, it's weird to be underusing the Doctor, and I mean that's a very classic Who sort of thing, was it was sort of the Doctor and Friends, and then New Who was very much the Doctor, and now it's like the Doctor and Friends, although the end of this episode was like, no, fuck it, it's about the Doctor, and the Doctor's...
I don't think it's about screen time. I think you can absolutely... I like the Doctor and Friends thing. I think that was a recalibration that was welcome for me. But, like, the... you just can do better with it. And she's doing some very cool stuff, but most of it is stuff that isn't in the script, that she's kind of building, I feel, on top of it. And that's what... I mean, great actors... God knows great actors have saved my work in the past. But, like, there's definitely... I'd like more help from the screenplay for her.
Yeah, definitely. Give her something. Give her stuff to feed off of, because she's amazing.
Well, maybe that's what this is. Maybe that's what this... If this is our big season arc, the... Or was it the Lost Child or the...
Timeless Child.
Timeless Child. Maybe that's our thing.
So what's...
That's going to lead somewhere.
Yeah, but what's our reading on the Master, Sacha Dhawan's Master? Because I kind of didn't get a feel for him yet.
I like him. I like that manic energy. I kind of...
It was limited manic energy is what I was...
Yeah, well, it was really weird in that sense. Like, to the extent that it almost felt like that those scenes were shot a month before the rest of it or something. Or there was some kind of continuity problem there.
Always Sunny Season 2. That's what it reminded me of. With Frank. Because Frank, what's his name? Danny DeVito wasn't available. It was available 20 days or something before they were scheduled to shoot. So they kind of had to do all of his stuff really quickly first. And then
really?
Or I mean, yeah. If I think that's
the thing. It's that it feels a little bit off, but I'm excited to see more of him. I also really liked in the Holocron moment the kind of the sadness and that sort of, that sobriety was interesting. I think that's an interesting contrast. I'm interested to see if they go more in that direction with other appearances.
It would have hit harder if he'd been full manic the whole episode, not very up and down.
Yeah.
Because, like, John Sim had that sort of very manic energy, but when he had those quiet moments with the Doctor, it felt like he was always holding back that manic energy. Sort of like it was there.
They definitely sold it. Him and Tennant sold that as, like, an old friend.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much unsaid kind of stuff there, and that's not what we're getting from this. But that's okay. I'm okay with him being a younger... I think your theory's right, that this is, like... a way earlier version of the Master. He feels younger as a depiction.
Another thing, our whole parallel universe, these monsters travel dimensions, parallel universe. Just different times.
But again, right, if you'll excuse me, I think again this is where the long-term planning stuff comes in, because I think they were parallel universes, and then someone remembered that was the Cyberman thing. And then they wanted to do the Cybermen later, so they had to leave the parallel universe thing to one side.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that twice in a season. I genuinely think that that's a... Because it felt like it was
that.
Always... It
you
felt parallel that. Universe... Say again?
You say that now. The Master will be back. We'll do this merry dance again. There'll be some bullshit.
Oh, the Master can come back, but you can't do two parallel universe invasion stories. That would be my guess.
Last season, didn't we have several, actually, this is a good, this baddie is actually supposed to be healing everything, but got its programming wrong.
Or what was it last season where it was things going into heads, right? That was the
one
as well.
Yeah, fucking implants, like 6 or 7 implants across the series.
I think Chibnall listens to this podcast, and I think he's trying to fix some things.
Yeah, he didn't fix the companion.
To make you happy specifically.
When they sat there and went, what do we do now? That's the point where, you know, Captain Jack and Martha would go off and have their quiet little discussions while the Doctor tinkers and goes, I've got a brave idea. Or when Martha Jones is like, fuck it, I'm going to...
If only one of the companions was like in some kind of law enforcement, that would be an interesting wrinkle in this idea of him using the authorities against them. What if like she could be kind of, if you could even go into kind of a decommissioned police officer kind of... direction with that she's you know, all of her old friends and people are hunting her down. Maybe it's someone from her past. Maybe we establish an ex-boyfriend in the Force who's now being tasked with hunting them down, and ultimately, like, he knows she's better than what everyone's saying, and he kind of has a crisis of faith. And you could do loads. Admittedly, that would require 20 minutes more episode time, but like, you could do something cool there that uses
just knock the aliens on the head. You don't need them. They weren't
or
necessary.
If one of them had lots of access to large pieces of public transport that they could utilise to quickly escape.
Yeah, just load of keys for buses. Hang on, it's on a Reaver. There you go.
I think that's the thing. I think that's the problem I have with how the companions are being used, is that they're not. And it's because they're not being looked at as individual characters. They're being looked at as a gang, rather than actually what you've got there in that establishing those characters. You've got lots of interesting perspectives and superpowers. They're a superhero team. That was the other thing with all the old companions. They were always useful. They were always like, there were problems that Rose could solve that the Doctor couldn't. Right, because of her experience or her knowledge or her whatever. There was always, and that's true, been true of all of them. And I kind of, I feel like you've got a copper, a bus driver, and...
A guy who can't climb ladders.
But, so maybe not him, but the other two are really, like, there's definitely stuff you can work. And also I think that's part of the Doctor Who charm, that, like, what is a interstellar challenge that only a bus driver can fix? Like, why is there not in...
Bus race.
Maybe I'm wrong. Say again.
Bus race. Space bus.
Why has there not been in the last year and a half a ship that needed a pilot?
There was, and he piloted it.
Oh, did he?
I can't remember. I might be thinking of a Matt Smith episode. I swear there was, like... He did it with Ryan, didn't he? And they had to... I can't remember. Fucking hell.
Oh, if I did, then my point... I'm wrong.
It might have happened during
that... that more
the
often.
One with the Sasungra conundrum one that I don't fucking remember much of.
Oh, maybe,
Anyway,
that. I want that all the time. I want them to be constantly being utilized for their unique... Because otherwise, why? It's your thing, you the thing, your sage writing wisdom you started the podcast with, kind of the and then. The other big one is why is this story about these characters?
Yeah.
Because if it's just that they were there, then that's
the
not a story. Yeah.
They were just there. They were there, and honestly, if they hadn't been there, the story would have gone on without them. The end.
It's a shame. That's a shame. I'm hoping this is bridging some gaps, that this is a kind of an episode that's being required to like do some heavy lifting for the season, and we're back on track next week. I'm ending on a hot, optimistic note.
I am as well. We've got a great writer up there. And this is why I love Doctor Who, is because, you know, it's each episode very much has its own flavour and its own sort of... This is why I Doctor Who is better than stuff like Rick and Morty, which has a writer's room. You know, one person breaks through and all that sort of thing, but because it's the writer's room, it has that consistency.
There's a standardization, isn't there?
Yeah, and occasionally you'll get like a great episode and one that's like, not as great, but it can never have plummeting, awful, deathly lows and incredible raised up, what the fuck was that highs? And that's what I love, that's what I want, and that's the guy I gave out this last time, so let's see what he can do. In fact, we were going to do, between the two New Year's specials, we were going to re-watch an old episode, and we never got around to it. Do you remember?
Say again, sorry.
We were going to watch an old episode, weren't we?
Oh, we were. And
I forgot to do it.
On the way. Well, you were busy writing a book, and I was busy directing John Wick, so it kind of, you know, we both had lives, we both had things. Now it's much easier because we're both between things or starting.
I'm not balls deep in the fucking book. I'm at that stage where it's just...
don't know which of your writing books told you that that was the way to write a book, but you need to reconsider. That's
how they wrote Torchwood, I believe. That's
probably how they wrote Torchwood.
Why is the script sticky? Oh, no. That was a beautiful anime. That was acting there. But I was in a film as well. I shot a film last year. I was in the Ashton film.
Oh, you did, didn't you? The Ashton's thing, right?
Yeah, it took a month. It was great. It was great fun.
I've never met Ashton's. I like his sofa videos.
You've never met Ashton's?
I've never met Ashton's.
Oh, my God. You'd get along like a big...
I don't go to Poundland enough. That's why. That's the only place to spot
him,
right?
You need to... Yeah. He just appears in random Poundlands. It's like a ghost.
It's like, yeah, he's like spirited in. He's, summoned.
I think
that sounds like the
Who
worst. By the way, that was the worst flex in history. I'm not in Poundland that much. That was a weird.
Well, I'm in Poundland all the time because I'm writing a book with the word fuck in it, not John Pissing Wick.
I mean, our script also had a lot of fucks in it, so that's valid.
Yeah. I know, because some of those levels took me a really fucking long time to beat.
I apologise.
But
you had a good time and would recommend it to friends, right?
Yeah, I did. Did a live stream on it, bitch.
Oh, good. All right. I don't watch it when mates play my stuff. It's too scary. It's too scary.
I would, like I've said to you, when you read my book, you need to live stream just reading it and occasionally going...
Just like a slight little giggle, right?
Yeah. I enjoy it. An actual reviewer, a proper big reviewer, said that the quantity of jokes are bombed in the style of a level of Ikaruga. Just jokes. Never
that's
ending.
I like... that's. Was that for like a regular news outlet or was that for like a games outlet?
That was the Sunday Times? That was sometimes. Because
that feels like someone who's trying to prove their credentials by making an Ikaruga reference. That's like...
I'm pretty... Like, no, that was a paper. That was one of the
that's
papers.
That's good. I like that.
They didn't like that.
That's a little code word to the audience to say, I get this stuff.
I'd like to point out the next line was, and occasionally, some of them land.
Oof.
When you play that high of a quantity, it's like 1% of the book, which is fine for me. It's more than this script had. At least I'm trying to tell jokes, Chibnall. You fuck.